Petri Dish is a product of Petri Dish Media, all rights reserved. Petri Dish is a science comedy podcast and should not be used as medical advice. Do not get medical advice from a podcast.
And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein.
Science! Science!
I know the human being and
science
can coexist peacefully.
This was our finest.
Hey guys, welcome to Petri Dish. I'm Nathan.
I'm Sean.
Now, if you listened into the last episode, and if you haven't, do it. But if you have, then you know. Okay. So last episode, we talked about regeneration. And we talked about regeneration, not in bacteria. We don't care about that. Talked about regeneration in animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Specifically, last time, we talked about Hydra and planarians.
But no one's impressed by that, right? Because they're like little itty bitties. I know they're not bacteria, but they're kind of like bacteria, right? I mean, like, we just... Whatever, they're so small.
Yeah, they're kind of distant from us, you know? Because the Hydra, they're part of the Cnidarians.
Right.
And that's like fucking jellyfish and shit.
Right.
And planarians are flatworms, platyhelminthes, and those are pretty far away too.
So, you know, the question begs, Sean, are there other animals that can regenerate large parts of their body?
Yeah, so it's like, let's creep in closer, right? Let's get closer and closer to humans.
Right.
And this time, basically, the two big ones that we're going to be chatting about are sea slugs and their self-decapitation.
Right.
And then we're also going to talk about zebrafish.
Mm-hmm.
And just all the random shit that they can lose.
Very cool. Well, this week on Petri Dish.
Last time that we were talking, the cases of regeneration that we brought up, the Hydras and the Planarians,
right,
were ones that you can chop up into a ton of little bits,
right,
and then they'll all regrow into entire new living animals.
Right. Right? And these are not quite microscopic animals. You can see these guys.
Yeah, they're just really small. You know, we're talking like a centimeter, maybe an inch or something like that.
Right, and you can't really regenerate like that once you get bigger, right? I mean, come on.
Right, well, kind of. And so the first one that we're going to talk about today is sea slugs. And the sea slugs are a really good example of this kind of process called autotomy.
Okay.
Yeah. And autotomy is like self-amputation.
All right.
A lot of times to avoid some kind of predator.
Right. Okay? So it's like if you're, it's like Highlander and you cut off your own head. Because you know that the bad guy's going to get you anyway, right?
Is that how that works?
Yeah, well, that would be autotomy, right?
There can only be one.
Yeah.
So, examples of autotomy that, like, maybe people know better, something that we're going to talk about next time, lizards and their tails.
Right.
Right? That's autotomy. A lot of insects can undergo autotomy. They can lose a leg, especially if, like, it'll help them escape from some kind of predation.
Right. And then they can just grow back later.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So... sea slugs are actually a really interesting topic for autotomy because,
you go first.
There's a really recent story about them.
Okay. I mean, a sea slug is just like a long, like a squishy stick, right? I mean, what would you even lose off it?
So they don't only look like long, squishy sticks. Cucumbers kind of just look like a fucking tube thing, right? But like sea slugs can actually look kind of like slugs in the water.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They're
like
just
they have
prettier.
They have like little antenna things.
Yeah.
They got like little like swimmy, like.
But it's under the sea, so they got orange sometimes and some dots, right? They're like prettier.
Yes.
They're like prettier than Earth slugs.
Yes.
Yes.
Agreed.
Terran slugs. I was thinking about StarCraft, and when I say Terran slug, it made me think of like an upgrade for like Marines or something.
Oh, and they turn into slugs?
No, like the slug of the rifles.
Higher caliber
or something.
Yes.
I'm excellent. Sorry.
That's great.
Well, anyway, so what about sea slugs?
Yeah, okay. So they were in the news recently because there was this PhD student in Japan, Mito Sayaka, and she was checking out her tank of sea slugs.
What do they use? Why are they researching sea slugs?
Biologists like to research all kinds of shit.
Okay, okay. I think it's for food, right? Because I literally just recently watched this YouTube thing, so it's real, about the sea slug, like, market.
Mm.
And now because sea slugs don't necessarily grow in the wild as quickly as you would want to replenish, you know, exhausted populations. Like, the market is really restricted right now.
I see.
And so, hey, man, you figure out how to grow some sea slugs. Okay, you're in the money, right?
Yeah, there's like dozens of people that would buy them.
No, like China. like East Asia, dude. Like, that would be bank, right? It's not all about America, buddy.
If I were to have a guess,
yeah,
I would guess that what they were studying in this lab is kleptoplasty.
Okay, what's that?
Klepto is like stealing.
Yes.
And plasty in this case refers to the chloroplasts.
Mm.
That sea slugs, some species of sea slugs, love to eat algae.
Okay.
But while they're eating the algae, instead of just digesting them, they also steal the chloroplasts out of the algae.
Wow, okay.
The chloroplasts are the part of the algae that does photosynthesis, right?
Right, of course.
So they'll steal those chloroplasts and put it into their own cells.
Oh, that's cool.
So first of all, those sea slugs turn green.
Right, okay.
Like a plant.
So they got a lot of chloroplasts then.
Yeah, and it seems that those chloroplasts will do some photosynthesis in the sea slug.
Interesting. All right.
So I'm assuming that they wanted to study that process.
Yeah.
So the sea slugs that she was looking at, Alicia marginata.
Okay.
And she had noticed in the tank that somehow one of the sea slugs had become decapitated.
All right. Okay. Violent slugs then.
Well, it was very surprising.
Yeah.
They don't normally run around getting decapitated.
I didn't know they had teeth. Yeah.
For what?
Well, to decapitate. I mean, how do you decapitate a head if you don't have something sharp?
So you just assume teeth would they chew the head off?
Well, they don't have make swords.
Or
right?
Like claws or something. I don't know. Like,
do they have claws?
No, they don't have any of that. Anyway, what was even more surprising was that it wasn't just a decapitation. The head, separated from the body, was actually swimming around the tank.
Wow, all right.
Seemingly all right. Oblivious to the fact that it was not attached to a body.
So many, like, basic questions I have about this. How does a head swim?
Yeah, so it basically was doing kind of like a drifting and then like a little bit like kind of like a back and forth twitchy motion.
Right, so you can imagine if you're a scientist, you're watching that and at first you're like, oh, wow, that's decapitated. And then you notice it and it's jerking around, you're like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, oh.
And like jerking around in the sense of like it was definitely going in particular directions.
Right.
And then it was kind of like moving its way over.
Wow.
Trying to munch on some algae over there in the corner.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how does it decapitate? Or like what decapitated it?
Yeah. So it decapitated itself.
Very cool. All
which right. is nuts. Still, and, no claws or teeth involved.
I was about to say how, right?
Like what seemed to have happened was in the neck area.
Yeah.
It just kind of pinched off.
Wow. That's cool.
Itself.
Okay.
And separated its head from its body.
Yeah.
Its body, by the way, was not swimming around.
Yeah.
But was kind of twitchy. So if you poked it, its body could still react to poking.
Right. You know, some Buddhists could do that.
Which part?
Well, so like, you know, one of the things about especially early like disciplehood in Buddhism is you can't be taken by lusts, right?
Yeah.
And so early Buddhists, I mean, this is only written. Right, like we don't have like, you know, scientific proof of this.
Yeah, sure.
But it's written in a lot of the early sutras that they could pinch off their dick if they were confronted by beautiful Hindus.
Great.
Right? And so, okay. Right?
Are and you then, doing it right now?
Well, because it was such a clean cut, you could keep it and just reattach it later.
I'm just saying, be careful.
Yeah.
You don't know what you could do.
Sure. I have this metal thing in my hand now.
Oh, so just don't flex. Don't flex that muscle down there too much.
Right, maybe you I'll pinch it off.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tatamaz my dick.
Okay. So, this head, it was just going around, and it was hanging out. And the thing about the anatomy of sea slugs is it's not that different from us.
Right.
Okay, in the sense that the body has all kinds of organs that we would normally consider important.
Right.
Like a kidney, and guts, and a heart.
Right.
Which was beating.
Right. This is not like with hydras. Where you're like, eh, whatever.
Right, exactly.
There's like all sorts of organs.
There's organs in there, right. And they were definitely separated from the body.
Okay.
When this sea slug pinched its own fucking head off.
So its head died, right?
No.
All right.
No, the body died. The body with all the organs besides the head, that's the thing that died.
Mind over body.
The head grew an entire new body. Entire new one.
Yeah.
Mostly starting with growing a heart.
That's what Descartes did.
Which part?
Descartes, you know, cut off his body and grew a new body.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know.
Is that something about I think therefore I am?
No, yeah, he wanted to prove his Descartesian philosophy, right? Because, yeah, I mean, wasn't he the guy who argued about a duality of mind and body and how they are separatable ideas? And, you know, some guy was like, you sound dumb. And he was like, well, watch this. And he cut off his body and then grew a new body. It was crazy.
took a bit to get here. Took a bit to get here, but it's okay. I still like it.
I probably got Descartes wrong, too. I don't even think that's a true story. It's apocryphal.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking Spinoza.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's chopping bits off.
I don't know why I know any philosophers. So the head basically closed up its wound in about a day.
Yeah.
Because there was actually a wound in the spot where it separated itself from its body.
Okay, that makes sense. But it healed it.
It healed it up in about a day.
Wow.
Which is like part of that's impressive, but also, you know, if you have a cut.
It's the least impressive part.
Like, yeah. Yeah, you'll scab over or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
It's like watching Iron Man and being impressed that he's a billionaire. It's like, that's just kind of the premise now, right?
So, about a week in to not having a body, it grew a new heart. And that heart starts beating.
Wow, okay.
Okay?
Creepy.
And then in a little under a month, it's got a whole body now.
Right.
So, first of all, why the fuck did it do this?
Right. And second of all, it's so impressive. You know, if you convert slug to human years, that's like if you took 10 years to grow a heart after cutting your head off, right? I mean, like, it's amazing that that's just their sense of time.
Well, it is a pretty long time to not have a heart.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, humans don't usually survive past, like, a week without a heart, right? Yeah. Or, like, maybe shorter. Yeah. Or longer. We don't have to do medical advice on this spot.
We don't. The science isn't finished yet how long a person could live without a heart.
Yeah.
So, why?
Right.
Why
how is that possible?
Yeah,
okay. Do why first, I guess.
Yeah. The how we know the least about.
Yeah.
So the why, there's a lot of supposition about this. Most animals use autotomy as a way to escape predation.
Right.
There's a predator coming. An insect has a leg stuck in a web.
Right.
It can just like pop that leg off and be like, fuck it.
You and then I mean? Other animals use it as a way to escape low self-esteem, right? Like, if you have an ugly tail, you get rid of it, right? Grow a new one. If you have an ugly leg and you're a mantis, get a new mantis. You know, like liposuction, right? Like, all these things are ways to help our self-esteem. So is it psychological or is it to evade a predator in the case of the sea slug?
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense for it to be avoiding external predation.
Because this was in a lab in Japan, and the only predator is the Japanese.
Yeah, and and out of the group of sea slugs involved here, the Sacoglossans, like Alycia marginata and Alycia atroviridis.
Okay.
These sea slugs, they don't really have natural predators.
Right.
There's not really anything that's super into eating them out there in the wild.
Okay.
And also, usually escaping predation is like a imminent threat kind of situation.
Right.
Like, there's a bird grabbing your tail.
Right.
And you need to escape as a lizard, right?
Right.
Like, that's like in the moment.
Right. You're not a lizard and you like get a cancer diagnosis and you're like, I better get rid of my tail.
Yeah. And see, in this situation, the head separating from the body action is not immediate.
Right.
It takes hours.
Right.
For the head to actually separate from the body.
So super not useful.
Yeah. If you're trying to run away right away, your head's not getting detached right away. It's going to take too long.
So what the bacon bits, man?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, girl. So one thing that they found was that if they took these sea slugs and they infected them with a parasite, then the sea slugs were more likely to pop their own heads off.
Ah, all right.
Okay. So
how much more likely, though?
Yeah, so
is it like one of those things where they change the wording of a poll? It's like, do you think DC should be a state? And you change the wording, it goes up like 3%. And it's like, that's supposed to mean something? And you're like, it doesn't mean shit. Is it like that? Like, or
kind
is it like a lot more slugs?
It goes from 0%
okay,
to like 5 to 10%.
Okay.
And then a bigger chunk of the slugs, instead of decapitating themselves, will dissolve a part of their body.
Okay, so they'll do kind of something kind of similar, if not quite as dramatic.
Right. And so definitely having this endoparasite in there, this parasite hanging out inside their body, seems to kind of stir them into some kind of action.
Okay.
To try to get rid of that parasite.
Sure. And then the action can be a range from dissolving something to full-blown jettisoning the whole rest of the ship.
Right. Okay. Right. Which is, you know, it seems like that is an option that they are able to handle.
Right.
Is just fucking detaching the saucer section off the Enterprise and just like fucking going full-blown.
Right. Well, now that you bring up Star Trek, that I can finally visualize it. But, so the why, that's pretty plausible. But how? I've been trying for years and it just won't work.
Yeah, so it's really hard to say. In terms of the physical aspect of how, they seem to just like kind of weaken the cells in the neck area.
Right.
Kind of along a particular breakage plane.
Okay.
Which is actually very similar to lizards. Right. In that lizards have a built-in spot where their tail is supposed to come off.
Right.
So it seems like these guys kind of have a built-in spot where their heads are supposed to pop off.
Yeah, but come on. That's like if we saw a ghost and I'm like, how is there a ghost there? And you're like, well, light enters your eyes. And it's like, it's like, well, yeah, but why is there a ghost?
Sure, sure, sure. The only reason why I mentioned that is because when they wanted to experimentally force these guys to pop their heads off.
Right.
They took a nylon string and they just kind of tied it around their neck.
Wow.
And then just left it there. So it's not like they like tightened it super tight or anything. Mm-hmm. But just having just like the light pressure of the nylon string on their necks.
Wow.
Made it so they popped their heads off.
Wow.
That's interesting. But how can they survive?
Right.
Not having a fucking body.
Right.
And so this is where kleptoplasty that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Might come into play.
Right. Okay, so they've stolen chloroplasts, right. So they can just make their own energy in their fucking brain.
Yeah, with wow. Sunlight.
Okay.
And so maybe they're just making the sugars and shit using those chloroplasts, and maybe that's enough energy
right.
for them to survive not having their fucking guts to be able to digest shit.
What about a heart, though? Don't they need, like, oxygen and shit?
Yeah, so, you know, having a circulatory system probably helps out a lot.
Right. You think they're just, like, a little dumber?
Well, so what's interesting, a lot of things that are in water sometimes are able to survive through passive diffusion of oxygen in the water.
Right. And these guys, they're like way bigger than what we've talked about in the past, right? But they're still a few inches or something.
Right. They're a few inches.
Right. So they can a little more osmoticize their oxygen.
They might be able to get the oxygen going on where they don't need like a full-blown circulatory system running.
At least just for the head.
Yeah, and for like a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And by the time the week is done, the heart's there. It's the first thing that comes back, right? So like they're regenerating that as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And then they handle getting the guts in there, handle getting the kidneys in there, you know, all of that comes later.
Fuck! Let's talk about regeneration.
Well, yeah. I mean, so that shit's wild. Crazy. That shit's wild. Okay. And it's very cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, admittedly, any kind of slug still feels pretty distant from us.
Okay.
They are, for example, not even fucking vertebrates.
Right.
They don't have a spine.
Right.
So
spines are where we're getting a real tricky business, right? Because there's all sorts of nerves that are running down spines. Like, I feel like whenever I break my back, my doctor's like, ooh, came real close this time again, buddy.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, a subtext here is that, like, clearly we don't regenerate well.
The other subtext is I love you. Oh, I said it.
we're just making it text now, I guess.
That's bad writing.
But, like, we don't do it well. Mammals, in general, do not regenerate well. At some point, things get shitty at regenerating.
Right.
And so we're going to move it closer to us now.
Yeah.
This next one, the one that we're going to finish the episode out on, is zebrafish.
Right.
They're a kind of fish. They got a spinal cord. They got vertebra.
Right.
They're little fishy bros. So let's take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about zebrafish and their regeneration.
The magic regenerating vampire fish.
Huh.
Cool. Because vampires regenerate.
Yeah, but
they don't suck blood.
These are zebrafish. So that's not even, it's not the same word.
Zebras don't regenerate.
Fuck.
All right. Let's take a break.
The following is an actual advertisement.
Hey, true crime listeners, check out our podcast, I Said Goddamn. We're a true crime comedy podcast hosted by two besties who like to share messed up cases that make you say goddamn. Every Sunday, we try to one-up each other's story by sharing a horrific case the other has never heard of. Along the way, we splash in some wildly inappropriate jokes and colorful language. Listen every Sunday from any of your favorite podcast directories. Also, follow us on Twitter at ISGDPodcast or visit our website, ISGDPodcast.com.
You know, whenever I hear planarium, I think of, not Timothy Leary. No, you know, like, I'm the hot, you know, the 50s guy, the 50s, 60s guy, aluminum, the element song. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, Jack. Come on. Yeah. The first, the winner.
No, I don't know.
Then the tooth thing.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It's the guy who did Jingle Jangles, like fun science little ditty bitties, like in the 50s and 60s. He used to be a nuclear physicist. He invented the Jell-O shot. And he would, like, play silly songs on the piano that were satirical, and he did, in Mrs. Shell's Clark.
Oh, you're talking about the dude that Dad talked about one time.
Yeah, and I don't remember Shell's Clark forced us, well, I mean, you were the first year that our chemistry teacher forced us to memorize the song, so we learned the elements. So when I hear planarium, I guess it's because it sounds like plutonium, maybe. I mean, maybe that's all it's really coming to, but I don't know, it makes me always think of that song.
This is great. Fantastic.
Well, you don't get it.
I don't know who the fuck. I don't know this dude's name. Anyway, all right.
Okay. So far we've talked about all sorts of different animals that can regenerate.
Yeah.
But now we're kind of crossing a great divide from, you know, weird looking squishy shit.
Yep.
To stuff with bones.
Yeah.
Bony bitches.
Bones on the inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we're going to start out. This time, talking about zebrafish.
Okay.
Next episode, we'll talk about salamanders.
Right.
And we'll talk about lizards.
Right.
And we'll talk about humans.
So zebrafish are named zebrafish because of their regenerating qualities and...
just like the zebra.
Their herd mentality. Right.
It's why you see so many zebras with, like, bites from lions out of them, but they're healing. You know
how else
I mean?
Would they survive? So many lions everywhere, right?
They're called zebrafish because they got stripes.
Right, okay.
The little cute little fishies.
And we use them a lot in science.
Oh, a shitload.
Yeah.
I was reading a little history about them. Apparently, as a model organism, they only started getting popular in the 60s.
Yeah.
But they've become very popular.
Right.
And one of the reasons is that they're cheap as shit.
Right.
They reproduce pretty quickly, and they're see-through for like a shitload of their life.
Right.
Like
right.
Their eggs are pretty much see-through. Their larvae and kids are pretty much see-through.
Cool.
And so
makes that easy.
You can see all kinds of shit going on inside of them.
Right. It's a good thing there's not like a nation or an ethnicity of humans that were see-through. Or we would, like, probably have started using them in the 60s and 70s, too, huh?
Yeah, or there was, and we've already wiped them out.
That's really true. It's probably a footnote in Herodotus.
But because of a lot of really cool ways that we can kind of examine them, they get used a lot for developmental studies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how an embryo turns into a larva, turns into an adult fish.
I get used in developmental psychology studies a lot.
Yeah.
How a fully functioning human turns into me.
I don't know about developmental psychology, but evolutionary psychology.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
why do Nathans like butts?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can men evolve back? The Nathan Allen case study.
So they also get used a lot for toxicity studies. Their organs are somewhat similar to ours, and they have a lot of the same kinds of genes as us.
Okay, cool.
So they're really great for all kinds of studies. And one of the things that kind of became clear in the 60s and 70s is also they can be used for studies in regeneration.
Awesome.
When you look at adult zebrafish, they can regenerate all of their fins. So if a fin gets chopped off or whatever, they can grow it back.
Whatever.
They can grow back parts of their spinal cord.
That's pretty cool.
They can grow back their retinas.
I did that.
I don't think so. But yeah, so and
you don't know me.
They can also grow back part of their brain.
Okay.
The part that corresponds to the cerebrum.
Boy, I could use that. All right.
They can grow back their kidney and a huge chunk of their heart.
Okay, not the full heart. Not the whole potato, but like a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah, really high percentage.
That's pretty cool.
And that particular part, the heart part, is pretty trippy and interesting.
Well, what happens to the heart in other similar animals?
Right, so like let's say we get a heart attack.
Yeah.
And when you get a heart attack, that means that blood flow is cut off to a part of your heart.
Right.
And that part of your heart dies from lack of oxygen.
Mm.
Okay? And those cells in that area, like the heart muscle cells, which are called cardiomyocytes.
Okay.
They die and they have to get kind of cleared out.
Okay.
And then in their place in that area, other cells called fibroblasts come in and they lay down a bunch of collagen.
Okay. Then does the collagen turn into new heart cells?
No, the collagen is kind of more there as like a quick patch in that spot because your heart is beating and there's a bunch of blood flowing through it.
All right.
if there's just a spot where a bunch of cells got lost, you might pop a leak in your heart. So they put down that collagen to try to seal up that area.
Right.
But basically, that collagen is not as squishy or movable as the rest of your heart.
And it never fully regenerates or
heals. It's just scar tissue.
Right.
It's exactly the same as scar tissue. So you just have a scar on your heart.
Right.
And that affects your heart's ability to beat properly. Yeah. That changes the blood flow. It changes the strength of your heart.
And, you know, we've all had scars on our heart. You know, yes. we've all felt those feelings. And
yeah, I watched WALL-E.
Yeah.
I saw Up.
Oh, Peter Gabriel.
Pixar fucking has done a number on my heart.
Yeah. I have so much scar tissue. Probably died 20 years younger because of Bug's Life. And I know I'm weird. That Bug's Life is the thing that really got to me, but I cried like a bitch.
It's not Bug's Life that had Woody on, right? Was it Ants that had Woody
Allen? Yeah, Ants had Woody Allen.
That was a rough year for insect movies. There's a lot going on.
They're both good movies.
Were they both good movies?
Dude, they're classics.
All right.
No, I remember Ants being very intense. I remember when I was a kid watching it, there's like a war scene where like there's like termites finding ants and there's just shit blown up. It's like D-Day. And I remember being a little traumatized by that.
Yeah, plus you were like an entomologist. You truly loved bugs.
Right.
And so seeing bugs like assassinate each other was like not great for you.
Yeah, part of my brain died that day and I'm not a zebrafish, so I couldn't regenerate.
That is a
bug. So how did they do that?
Yeah, so...
But anyway, we're talking about the heart.
Yeah, and the main thing is that in humans, but then also in all mammals,
right,
your heart does not recover from a heart attack.
And most fucking fish probably, right? Like, really, like
probably
most,
a good number.
Yeah,
good
most number. Biddies. But with the zebrafish, they take it the next step.
Right. What's interesting with the zebrafish, so at first, scientists figured out, like, oh shit, they can regenerate. Like, if we cut out a chunk of their heart, they can grow that heart back.
Right.
Right. And so they were like, wow, that's crazy. Maybe they don't have fibroblasts.
Right.
Maybe they're not creating the scar tissue.
Right. If only we could get rid of scar tissue.
Right. But after some really close examination, they found out, oh, not only do these zebrafish have the fibroblasts, but they definitely form the collagen scar tissue.
Right. So they go through the same process we do.
Right.
But then
they go on to the next step, which is the fibroblasts will send out signals to the remaining heart muscle cells in the area, the cardiomyocytes.
Okay.
And they tell the cardiomyocytes, some of them, to stop what they're doing and to travel back in time.
Oh.
To what's called de-differentiate, which means change from being a cell with like a particular career, go back to being more like a stem cell.
Right.
Full of potential.
Right.
Right. And then once they de-differentiate, they turn back into stem cells to divide and make a bunch of new heart muscle.
Right.
And so then they start producing more cardiomyocytes to replace all the ones that were lost during the heart attack.
Right.
And then they rebuild that heart.
Man, you know, I wish you hadn't said career during that, because it just made me think about college majors and
existential dread now.
Studying math and shouldn't have blown off algebra.
Like, what?
I went downhill, you know.
You're not using that algebra.
I could, if I was, I think I'd be in a different place.
What?
Probably be in a library.
What?
Just right now do math.
What? None of this lines up with my idea of your existence, but that's okay.
That's what I'm saying, man.
No, I like you the way you are.
Just a thrall to my own stupidity.
No.
Okay, but so that's pretty incredible, though. I mean, like, they can actually tell their own cells to go back in time. I mean, well, I don't want to say it like that.
Right. I mean, like, you know, I said the back in time thing, and clearly I hope everyone understands they're not actually traveling back in time. But they are going through sort of like a reverse of the normal development process. They are going from what we call terminally differentiated cells. That means cells that are like, hey, buddy, you're going to die in this job.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, like, right.
Like, from that position, and then turning back that development clock to being more stem cell-like.
Right. They're doing career retraining. We close the coal mine, but you actually are going to learn code, buddy.
Yeah, it's okay. You can still have a life after the coal mine.
Right.
And so that is what they're doing here. And so a big question when we're studying the zebrafish is, how come they can tell their cells to do that and we don't?
Yeah, we just.
Because, hell, all mammals enjoy using our hearts. Why wouldn't we continue to regenerate
it? Yeah, presumably if you could do that, wouldn't that, like, change the whole game? Wouldn't it? Like,
it did change some things, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be like werewolves, right? You'd be like regenerating all the time, right? You'd be like Wolverine.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, because it wouldn't just have to be heart cells, right? Couldn't you do that for, like, fucking a lot of things?
For all the juices, sure. Brain? Sure. And so, first of all, what I would say is when they dig in and look at these cells and what kinds of proteins they're making and what kind of signals they're sending to each other, all of the signaling pathways used are ones that also exist in mammals.
Okay.
We have all of the signaling stuff required.
Okay.
The question is whether or not we ever turn them on outside of development.
Right.
So for us, these are mostly things that we only have turned on during the process where we're an embryo and we're kind of building all of the things in the first place.
Yeah.
And then they pretty much get turned off in adults through epigenetic silencing in our DNA.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it is a little annoying. I will say that there are some cases where they get turned back on.
Right.
Like, for example, during cancer.
Right. But that's where the cancer turns them back on, right?
Right.
That's especially galling.
So one thing that is clear from zebrafish is that zebrafish, compared to, like, mice or something, have a lot more ability to change their epigenetic state.
Wow.
So if they need to, they can say, oh, you know, like all this stuff that we have turned off as adults, let's go ahead and turn that back on temporarily.
Right. Whereas we're like a person who like has lived with like a new OS system for so long, we don't know how to go back to 95.
Yeah, right? We're stuck in our ways.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, you know, basically that seems to be one situation where they're different from us.
Do you think Buddha like could do that? You think Buddha, like...
could, like, epigenetically
turn
him back into a child?
Yeah, do you think that's, like, what enlightenment and nirvana is, man? Is, like, you can, like, fucking imagine a single fucking gene. Like, whoop, right to a single gene, right? And you're like, open! You can die!
Isn't that what the Bene Gesserit do in Dune?
Yeah, I think basically,
that's,
right?
Like, the whole idea.
Can't they tell, like, a single sperm, be like, go!
Right, exactly, yeah. Right? Like, that's what they're doing, is they're, like, digging in deep.
Yeah.
Like, turn on that gene.
Yeah.
Cool idea.
That's a classic refrain in a lot of writing is, Frank Herbert did it.
He was a goofy bitch. Another potential clue as to why zebrafish can do this and we have a hard time.
Yeah.
Is that zebrafish cardiomyocytes are what are called diploid.
Okay.
Diploid means that they have two copies of their chromosomes.
Okay. What are we?
Most of our cells are diploid.
Mm-hmm.
Our cardiomyocytes are not. They have many copies of chromosomes.
That's weird.
That is weird. I did not know that.
Yeah. Why would we even want that?
I don't totally know.
This is kind of a God in the gaps problem. This is like God wants that, and like, I don't know why.
It's a little mysterious.
Right.
It's a little mysterious. What I will say is like it's pretty common amongst mammals for their heart cells to be multinucleated and to have multiple copies of their chromosomes.
Does that make it harder to, like, cancerfy it? Because, like,
what it might do is it might make it so that you can have bigger, longer cells.
Okay.
Because it's, like, if each nucleus is kind of like a command center,
right,
you can have, like, multiple of them along a long cell.
Okay, right? I play Tiberian Sun. I'm chewing what you're spitting
at me. Right. So that might be one reason why. But I don't think it's totally settled, and the fact that zebrafish don't might mean nothing, or it might mean that it's easier for them to de-differentiate.
Wow.
That, like, since they're just diploid, they don't have this complicated shit with, like, a shitload of nuclei all over the place and, like, fucking way too many copies of the chromosomes, it's just easier for them to turn back the clock to a stem cell, which is also usually diploid.
That's pretty cool.
So, you know, maybe that's got something to do with it.
Damn.
And then the last thing that I would say is that zebrafish tend to keep growing slowly over the course of their adult lives.
Okay, and it's just because at some point their adult life ends.
Yeah.
In a violent cataclysm.
Yeah, and I mean, out in the wild, they get eaten by something.
Right.
But yeah, so like, so they just kind of gradually keep growing. And so it might be the case that evolutionarily speaking, that is linked up to the fact that like, they want to keep around the ability to make all of their organs bigger over time.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm a bigger fish, I need a bigger heart. So right. I just need to keep around the ability to make more heart cells.
Huh.
Whereas our hearts when we're born are like a pretty big percent
right.
of like how big our hearts are
right.
when we're adults.
And at a certain
and then
point,
they just grow a little bit and then stop growing.
At a certain point, for some reason, you're just hard capped at 5'8". And like, you know, no one's told you why.
But you you're a good 5'8". It's a very sumptuous 5'8".
The audience didn't have to know that
you were talking about yourself.
Okay, well that's pretty incredible though. So those are two animals. We're baby stepping closer and closer, or goose stepping, if you will.
No,
closer and closer to American democracy. Closer and closer to humans.
Fucking sucks.
Okay. Now, Joe, next week we're gonna talk about a little bit of.
Damn. You have so many other accents you're not good at. Why not just pick one of those?
All right, well, anyway. But okay, so in our part three, wow, look at that. Part three of Regeneron is we're going to talk about lizards and shit.
Great. Great. Yes. We're going to talk about salamanders. As a sneak peek, salamanders can lose a shitload of body parts. I had no idea.
That's cool.
Because I know about lizards more with their tail thing, but right. Salamanders, you can pop an arm off.
Right.
It's like, they don't give a shit.
Yeah. So we'll talk about those animals who can lose less things. I mean, this is pretty obvious. Each animal we talk about progressively loses less things effectively.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a big hop with salamanders and lizards. They can lose all sorts of crazy external limbs.
Yeah.
And then we'll end on talking about humans.
Right.
And why we suck.
Right. So, like, what can humans regenerate?
Right.
And then, are there any potential avenues that, like, scientists are looking at for, like, is there a way that we can use some of this fucking knowledge from hydras and planarians or some kind of shit?
Yeah.
To, like, help us out? You know, like, right. Fucking Nathan needs a new hand.
That's
true.
Can
we get him a new hand? You know, some kind of shit like that?
You want to hear a crazy thing? Is my sperm regenerates. I don't make sperm. I'm like eggs in an ovary. I was born with a certain amount of sperm and they just regenerate repeatedly over time because, get this, they're triloid. Right? So they got three.
There's so many.
They got three chromosomes.
First of all, this is really fucking stupid, but it would be triploid anyway, so you said it wrong. All right, well, we're going to have to go ahead and cancel this episode where it is. Let's thank Stacy Song, our sound lord, engineer, and animator.
Well, yeah, Stacy's starting to pump some stuff out. Everybody keep an eye out for some new animated content.
Yep, and let's also thank Brian Allen for some of the artworks.
Sir, good luck in Santa Fe. Okay, we're gonna miss you. Don't be tripping on that peyote too much, brother. Come on, brother. Let's storm the Capitol, brother.
You can reach us at Dish Podcast. At Dish Podcast on Twitter, PetriDishPod@gmail.com. If for some reason you want to give Nathan money, you can go to patreon.com/PetriDish, sign up for like $1 a month. And it's going to go into trying to pay for some kind of psychiatrist for Nathan or something like that. get the demons exercised.
Let's go take Fort Knox and the leather job and Velveeta, brother. Come on, brother. Let's go, brother.
I got to be honest. I hate this less than the Cajun one. So we're making progress.
I'm going to dip you like a chili dog. Wait, hold on. And a whole vat of Velveeta.
What are you doing?
Brother. It's not homo, brother.
The worlds are merging. Okay, so I hope you guys come back for next time where we'll finish out our series on regeneration.
Mm-hmm. Tune in next week on Peaches, brother.